Hello everyone, this is Soul Essentials Healing Hour. How's everybody doing today? We're going to wait for everybody to get in, see what you guys want to talk about. It's been a long day here on my end of the world. Hi. Hi, Marla, you found your way in. Yay. How are you? No, my heat's not off. I'm just always cold. I moved my desk over to this side of my house, and now I'm wondering if I gotta move it back. Not sure if I got to move it back to where it was. It's a little cold over here, so. But it's just me, actually. I'm always cold. It's cold in Michigan now, so I will always be cold. Yeah. So I'm waiting for a couple people to come in to see what you guys want to talk about today. There has been kind of a theme that's been running through for, I don't live in California, so got too many kids here in Michigan. I can't get to California. But I'd like to go there and visit someday. We'll have to do lunch, Marla, sometime. Hi, Can. So I have found a kind of a theme that's been running through for almost a week, actually. It's been about, again, watching those negative thoughts, not feeling worthy. It's been a lot about people, that still seems to be a really big problem. Everywhere I kind of turn, it's still a problem with people. Trying to be perfect, and it's amazing how we're always trying to be perfect, and that's something that we can't do. You can't reach perfectionism. You just can't. I have to show you this card I got from a client, you guys. It's like the best card I ever got. Well, I can't say that because some of my daughters have got it, but I can't show you the inside, but I can show you. It's a cat. Right. Oh, I got to go this way. And they're like trying to put their pants on, but they're too fat, so they're laying down. You see that? It's like the best card ever. And inside it says the struggle is real. It's so funny. So I got a card from a client the other day. It was hilarious. I laughed the first time I seen it. So the theme that I'm finding is that people are still trying to be perfect. They're still trying to live up to standards, not just their standards, but the world standards, their family standards, culture standards, society standards. And when we do that, when we live to other people, isn't that card funny, Pam? It's so funny. When we live up to other people's standards, cultures, standards, societies, groups, clubs, we fail. We usually fail. And it puts so much pressure on us to try to meet those standards and to try to be good enough. But I'm still finding that's the theme everywhere we go. And it's manifesting in different ways. So some people I'm finding it, you know, not being good enough at their job. And then other people, they're not being good enough because in their families, because the way that their parents lived was, and my parents did this too, by the way. You know, when I was a kid, when you had dinner and you were done with dinner, the table was cleaned and the dishes were washed immediately. There was no break, no letting those dishes go for a night. Hi, Samar, how are you? We're kind of talking about trying to be perfect and live up to everybody's standards, and then I'm waiting from there to kind of see where you guys want to go tonight. And so in my family, you know, you ate dinner, you cleaned the table, all the food got put away, you instantly had to do all the dishes, and if you didn't do that, then you were lazy, right? And I'm still finding that, like, people are still living up to their parents' ways of being, their parents' ways of living, and if they don't do that, then they're feeling like they're not good enough. You know, keeping their house just so. I know that was a big thing with my mom. That, you know, she would come over and make comments about my house and how things were, and you know, if I had stuff clean enough or whatever, which I cleaned houses for many years. I know how to clean. That's what I did while I went to school. And one of the things I did while I went to school and raised my girls was I cleaned houses for very, very, very rich people. So I know how to clean houses, but she still felt the need to come over and comment. And when you live to reach other people's standards, the problem is that you'll never make it. And then you'll always feel like you're not good enough. And the thing is if I could just get everyone to understand this, that the only standard that you have to live up to is yours. Now, does that mean that you should just let your house go and you should never wash your dishes and the garbage should be overflowing? And no, that's not what I mean. You know, we need to keep it within bounds, right? We don't want to get bugs or rats or whatever, but you don't have to live up to other people's standards, whether it's your mom, whether it's a club, whether it's society, whether, you know, as long as you're a decent, good person and you're happy with yourself, that's all that matters. So I am finding that is a big thing that people are still struggling with. So let me see what you said, Marla. I wasn't taught in any way to be okay with mistakes, and never did anyone until last year tell me that it was all perfect along the mistakes. Right, they're not bad. Am I getting this right? Yeah. So, we haven't been taught that mistakes are okay, and we were taught that it isn't okay to make mistakes, that we need to be perfect, even in our school systems. You know, if you don't get the grade, the little kid next to you in the desk, you know, if you're not getting the same grade, you're looking over and they got this giant A plus and a red marker and you've got a C, you're not good enough. I wait for the day that our school system changes that, and I don't know how to change it, because I don't know how we would measure that the child is learning, but it's even in our school system. But it is okay to make mistakes. You have to make mistakes to learn. You just have to. And the asking, am I getting this right? That's a judgment. That's saying, am I good enough? Am I, you know, being perfect? Am I measuring up? It is a huge issue. And that's kind of the theme I've been finding over the last week, is people still, they struggle with this. They really, really struggle with needing to be good enough and being perfect. So let's see, Samar, what did you say? I worked with a woman whose mother counted how many times she can enter the house, so she broke into the basement one time. When the mother comes over, she checks her pantry and linen closet to make sure everything is aligned. Oh, wow. Yeah, moms do that. I have been working with some people lately, and moms are doing that. They're currently still doing that, and these are adults. These are almost 30-year adults, and moms are coming over and going, well, that room is quite the mess, isn't it? But they mean it in a way of, why haven't you cleaned it? Now, I might look at my daughter's house and I'd be like, oh, so, yeah, things are kind of crazy, but I don't mean it in that way. And my girls know that. I mean it in a joking way, or I mean it in like, that's the spot that you're at. I don't mean it in that way. So, now if I have a child who is talking to me and they're struggling about an issue and I say, well, you need to organize or whatever. So it's okay to offer suggestions or help, but it's not okay to always be saying, that's not good enough, you're not doing it right. And when somebody is doing it to you, you have to learn to shut that off. You have to learn that that's just how those people are, that you don't have to listen to that criticism, and that that doesn't mean that you're not good enough. Yeah, I did do that for you, Cam. I did change it where they, instead of grading her on her test, they graded her on her work, because she was a kid that got test anxiety. She could know the material, but as soon as the test comes, she would fail it. So I went to the school and said, quit testing her. So you would find yourself feeling guilty and ashamed when I made mistakes at my mother. Yeah. So we do feel guilty and we do feel shame. We feel bad. We feel like we're not good enough, that we've done something bad and we should have done better. Right? And that's those standards that were pounded into us of, be the perfect person, be the perfect student, the perfect girl. And while I do believe in standards, and I do believe, that we need to have enough self-respect that we do our dishes, right? That we have enough care that we do our dishes. But does that mean that you have to do them right after dinner? No, that doesn't mean that. But that does mean that you need to do them because you have enough care about yourself, your family, your household that you do them, right? So you need to know the difference. Feeling guilty and feeling shame are two of, in my opinion, just useless emotions. And when I say useless, I mean they don't serve us. Guilt only serves us until you learn the lesson. And it's only if you do something that's truly worthy of guilt. Not being good enough, not doing the dishes, not picking up the house, having everything perfect, that's not worth guilt. Guilt is, you steal a pack of gum, you know you shouldn't steal a pack of gum, but you stole it, so you feel a little guilty. Okay, you learn the lesson. It's not fun to steal. It doesn't feel good. I shouldn't do that. That's it. Guilt's over. Drop it. It's done. Guilt is only worthy to serve the purpose, to learn the lesson. That's it. Once you've learned the lesson, you drop it, right? Yeah. So mom is, and our parents, because, we're young and we have this idea that they're so, so, so important because they're raising us and keeping us alive, and we're young. It's not that our parents aren't important, but I think that what happens is we, as we grow, we don't learn to shift our value from our parents to ourselves. So initially, our parents are supposed to teach us how to behave in the world, how to act in the world. They're supposed to do that. That's their job, is to do that. But we are supposed to take over with our own opinion of ourselves. Okay? And we don't do that. If our parents didn't like us, if our parents never, made us feel good enough, we keep up that routine. We take over for the parents. We don't ever, they beat us down and then we beat us down. We beat ourselves down, right? So, right. So one of the things that's happening with you, Candace, is a little bit of projection there. So what you have to do when somebody cuts you down, and when somebody tells you that you're bad, somebody tells you that you're a loser, somebody tells you that you're not good enough, and especially if it's somebody that you care about or that you love. Sorry, guys, it's been a super long day for me, and I didn't sleep well last night. Is you have to stop thinking about it for one. Okay? You thinking about it and thinking about it over and over and over is not going to help you. And yes, you may have loved that person and you may have thought that their opinion is important, but it's their opinion. It doesn't mean it's true. It is just their opinion. Okay? So when somebody that you care about says things to you that are hurtful, that are judgmental, that make you feel bad, that make you feel less than, that make you feel like you're a loser, that you're not perfect, that you will never be perfect. You have an option at that point to make a decision. Do I follow that and I believe that and I let that determine me, make me, or do I choose a different route? You have that option to choose a different route. You can make what they say true. And you can continue to live in that energy, in that mind frame, or you can choose a different option. You have the ability to choose a different option. You have that ability. It may seem hard, but you have that ability. And that's what I did. For many years of my life, I was trying to prove myself. I was trying to be good enough. I was actually trying to get my mom's approval, but my dad had really high standards, and I was trying to live up to those standards, but not necessarily please my dad, because my dad never really gave me the feeling that I wasn't good. Like he always, my dad had a lot of anger, but I always knew that he thought that I could do it and that I was good. So it wasn't that, but I was more kind of trying to prove it to myself than and the world, really, than anybody. So I want you to understand that when people, hi Berta, say these things to you, you have the option to agree with it or to not agree with it. Just because they said it doesn't make it true. I cannot stress that enough. Just because somebody has an opinion of you does not make that opinion true. And I said that slowly because I can't stress that enough. Okay, and so my example is, like I said, I had to clean houses for many years. That's one of the things that I did. I cleaned houses for very rich people. And so after many, many years of doing that, I learned how to clean houses pretty good. And so when my mom would come over and say that my house was messy, which it wasn't, or it was because I had little children, or because I was moving rooms or something, did that automatically just take all my ability away? Just because she said it. Did it just take my ability away? It doesn't do that unless I let her. Okay? So people only get power over you that you give to them. Does everybody understand that? It's only what you allow them to take from you. I can still clean houses. I still know how to do that, whether you think I do or not. I still do. I'm still a good person, whether you think I am or not. I'm still kind, whether you think I am or not. So it's more about what you believe than what anybody else believes. It's so important that you hold on to that. And there will be times that maybe you get down. There will be times that maybe things hurt. But one of my favorite things in one of my favorite books is in the Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul, where he says, I just love that phrase where he says, if you talked to another person or your partner the way you talk to yourself, you would break up with them. And I'm like, that is so true. You would so break up with them, right? We are so mean to ourselves. So our parents want us to be perfect and we don't measure up, and society wants us to be perfect and we don't measure up, and then we don't fit in with the little clique in the neighborhood either, and then we go to school and we don't really fit in there, and we're trying to measure up everywhere, and we just, then at some point what happens is we start this negative self-talk of how we're never perfect and we don't fit in and that we'll never measure up. So then we start to, every little thing we do, we start to beat ourselves up. You don't have to be perfect. Nobody has to be perfect. You're not meant to be perfect. You actually can't achieve perfectionism. It's not achievable. Okay? And especially for the perfectionist, because the perfectionist will always find something else. There will always be something else for the perfectionist to find that they didn't do, they should have done, they could do. The perfectionist will always find something else. So, perfectionism is not achievable. It's not needed either. It's not needed. We came here to experience life on this level, right? And you came in with certain talents, certain abilities, certain characteristics, qualities. But you came here to experience, mostly, and to learn. You can't learn if you're already perfect. Can't learn. You're not even meant to be perfect. You were sent here to not be perfect so you could learn. If you were perfect, what is there to learn? How are you supposed to learn anything? So that is the theme that I've been finding. That and then the along with being perfect is the mind. The mind having thoughts. And I remember when Eckhart Tolle first said this, I didn't kind of understand what he was saying. And this again is where, you know, a lot of spiritual teachers will say things, but then I need to put like a chapstick here in my drawer. You know, you need to know what they're saying and then integrate what they're saying and be able to apply it. So while I'm talking, you guys, if there's anything else you want to talk about, let me know, and any other topics. But when Eckhart Tolle first said that thoughts just happen to you, I kind of didn't understand that at first. I thought, what do you mean thoughts just kind of happen to me? Thoughts don't just kind of happen to me. I think them, right? But the more I'm starting to realize, they do actually just happen to you. So what I've come to realize is that because everything is energy, and as you're going through your day, you know, it doesn't matter like what room you walk into, or if you're going into a store or you're just driving down the road, you are taking in all this energy, all this data, all this information, more information than you actually know that you're taking in. And what just happened, Cam? What just happened to you all day? I think my computer is lagging today for some reason. I'm not sure. Actions needed. Yeah, it says for some reason my stuff is lagging. But anyways, I want to get back to, oh, thoughts. Okay, yeah. So, you are taking in all this information, and you're taking in more than you know. You're taking in the color. You're taking in the subtle colors of the sky, of the room, of the lighting. You're taking in the temperature. You're taking in the smells. You're taking in where things are, objects, what people are saying, what they're doing. You're taking in all this information. And as you're taking in that information, even driving down the road, and you're taking in all this information, and your mind is thinking thoughts because it's taking in the information and it's transforming them into data, into thoughts. So I'm really starting to understand that they do just happen to you. And then what happens from there is, you know, all this information's coming in. Your mind turns them into thoughts, and it's very much like the heart beats blood and the brain thinks thoughts. That's what its job is. So the brain has a job of regulating your pH in your body, regulating hormones, chemicals, sending signals, moving, you know, to move things. It also has the job of keeping you alive. Is anything out of place? Are things safe? It's that hot. But it also has the job of thinking thoughts. That's what the brain does. And it's just like the heart beating blood. And it's really true. So one of the key things to realize is that because it's getting this constant flow of information, this constant flow of energy, this constant flow of data, and it's constantly thinking, not every thought's important, and not every thought is true. So it's important to realize that just because I have a thought that maybe I'm not good enough, or I'm not doing this, or a negative thought comes in, doesn't mean that we got to actually follow it. We don't have to actually pay attention to it, right? We can just let these thoughts go. A lot of them, and the more I can tell you, the more you practice this, the less you will have all of those intrusive thoughts. The more that you start to not pay attention to every single thought that pops in your head and follow every single thought that pops in your head, you'll be training your brain to not do that. Okay? And your brain will literally stop doing that. The brain, a lot of people don't realize the brain is something that needs to be trained. It really does need to be trained. And it can be trained. Our brains have been running wild for years on negative thinking, perfectionist thinking, anxiety thinking. But it is so super important that we learn that we can actually train that brain to not be so negative, to not have so many negative thoughts, to right, yeah, to stop complaining, to stop picking on yourself. We can actually train the brain to do that. So yes, mantras do help. I am, you know, I'm good, I'm positive, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm loved, I'm worthy. Mantras absolutely, 100% help. But it has to be true. So, you know, there is a thing in the brain that, you know, if, how do I explain this? Like, So the brain and the body doesn't know the difference between real and fake. So if I think a fearful event and it's completely imagined, it's not a real event, I will be afraid. I will get anxiety because the mind and the body doesn't know the difference between real and fake. But at the same time, I can think something and I can create that belief. So let me explain that. It still has to have a basis of truth to it. So if you have a belief that I'm not worthy, that is a true belief that you have. And we find the opposite of that belief, which is I am worthy. There's still truth to that. You can repeat that I am worthy over and over and over as a mantra, and it will train your brain to stop saying the I'm not worthy one. And instead, it will go to the I am worthy one, and then that will actually change the inner belief you have inside. But there has to be some part of you that has kind of made a resolution with the idea that I am worthy. Some part of you deep down knows that you're worthy, right? So there is a little bit of a trick to it, which is the emotional part. That's the trick. Just kind of like we talked last week, that you can do a prayer, but if you don't add in the emotion part of the prayer, most of the time you'll struggle in manifesting it. So this is the same thing. There is a part of you deep down that knows that you're worthy, that knows that you're loved, that knows that you're already good enough. And that's why saying it over and over and over works. Okay? So with what we've talked about so far, tell me what you guys think. And then tell me what you have questions about. It is like the fridge you is running, you can tune it out. And I just, started to just ignore it and literally say, no, I'm good enough. I stopped believing every thought that my brain had. I stopped listening to every thought that my brain had because I realized that it wasn't true. It was just the programming that was in my brain. It was like the CD that was in there, the movie that was playing the same old movie, but it wasn't a real movie. It was somebody else's movie. It was my mom's movie. It was society's movie. It was the world's movie. It wasn't my movie, right? So we talked about the building your self-esteem base, which is something that I work with people on the side. I work with building their self-esteem and deciding who you are in the raw. What are you? What down, deep down are you? Who are you? What kind of person are you? And knowing those things are real, knowing those things are true. I am a good person. I am a caring person. I am a kind person. And that's whether any of you like me or not, right? You decide that. Anybody could not like me, but I'm still a good person. That doesn't change, right? Yeah, and I'm supposed to talk with do my talk with Poonam's group on Wednesday, the Eckhart Tolle group, about family dynamics and Thanksgiving and helpful hints. So this is also the same kind of topic that you want to apply when it comes to Thanksgiving, because families have dynamics and families have beliefs, and they have, they're kind of rules, and they have their standards that each family has. Like my mom's side of the family was, they were definitely not as, like my dad's side of the family, they things were like a little more expensive on that side of the family, and it was just different, a different dynamic. My mom's side of the family, they weren't bad. I loved them, but they were kind of more down to earth. They were kind of more laid back, kind of more easygoing, right? So each family has their own dynamics and their own standards that kind of run through the family. And it can be intimidating going to family and being around people because we are afraid of judgment. We are afraid of what people are saying or what they're thinking, what they're going to say or what they're going to think. And it's so many people in this world are so afraid of judgment. They're so afraid what other people are going to think. And I can tell you, when you get rid of that, you just don't care anymore. You just don't care what other people think. It's so freeing. It is so freeing. It's so liberating. It doesn't bother you anymore. You realize their opinions don't matter. It doesn't really change your life. So when it comes to family gatherings, if you can go with the intent of just spending time with family, not worried about what everybody thinks, not worried about judgment, not worried about what they're going to say or what they're going to do, but you're just going just to be with family, just to spend time, that helps. And that's usually how I do it. I go, I have no expectations. I don't worry about what people are going to think about me. I'm just going to go enjoy and spend my time with family. Being around people, having that quality family time. So when it comes to family standards, or what Wayne Dyer would call it, the tribe. Like, the tribe would have these rules that everybody had to follow. And if you didn't follow the rules, you were the outcast of the family. And what happens in that is usually a lot of people end up leaving the tribe. Or you become what they call the black sheep of the family. And that's okay to be the black sheep of the family. There's always has to be one. There's always got to be one, right? And I'll be it. I'll be the black sheep of the family. I will be the one that's odd or that's different. So my advice is to go with presence, with your connection to source, with your connection to that you have value, that you're worthy, that nobody else's opinion matters, and just go to enjoy your time. Go be with your family. Enjoy the talk. Enjoy the gathering. And just be in presence and be happy. Don't worry about anything else. Spend your time with your family. Okay? What else do you guys want to talk about tonight? I was trying to think of some other kind of themes that have been running through this week. One of the things that I found too was that so the anxious mind is usually not rational, is also another key thing to notice about anxiety, is it's usually it's not rational. And if you can get your frontal lobe, if you can get the rational part of your brain to kick in. So if you're going to go to this family gathering and you're worried of what people are going to think, and then you start imagining this scenario, if you can get the rational part of your mind to kick in and say, okay, but really, do you really think like you're going to get in a fight over the roles with somebody? Now I'm just using a crazy example, but you know, when you can get the rational mind to come in, you can kind of talk yourself out of the anxious scenario that your mind is creating, right? So that's another way to help, is to allow your rational mind to be like, okay, come on. Now, really, is this really true? So, like, somebody was telling me once that they had a presentation due for work, right? And they said that they were worried about this presentation, and I said, well, you got the job assignment, right? And they said, yeah. And I said, okay, did you work on the job assignment? Did you, like, do the research for the assignment? And they said, yeah. And I said, okay, so did you create the slides and stuff for it? And they're like, yeah. And I said, all right, so it's completed, right? And they're like, yeah. And I said, well, then what are you worried about? And they just kind of looked at me. They didn't know what to say. And I was like, so you got the job assignment, you did the research, you created the slides, you completed the presentation, but you're worried about doing the present, like, you're worried about it? You're worried about getting it done? You already did it. So you have to get the rational mind to kind of argue with the anxious mind. So the other thing that Samar is talking about is, if you are the black sheep of the family, if you don't fit in, just totally don't fit in, if your family tends to fight, or I work a lot in substance abuse, if your family tends to use or drink and you don't want to do that, there are several people that choose, one, to either not go or go somewhere else, or they pick and choose who they're going to spend their holidays with. That is an option. You can do that. You don't have to spend your time with family per se if your family is not healthy. It's an option. And my suggestion is whatever works for you. In life, if I have to deal with difficult people, the question I ask myself is, how do I want to be? How do I want to be? Do I want to be happy? Do I want to be calm? Do I want to be centered? Do I want to be excited? How do I want to be? That then will determine my responses and my behaviors. Most of the time in my life, I choose to be peaceful. I want to be peaceful and happy inside. I want to be calm. That's how I want to be. I lived many years with anger, and I don't want to be angry. So I choose how I want to be. That prepares me to go into any situation, to deal with any situation, to deal with any person. If I want to be calm and peaceful, then that's how I approach the situation. That's how I will respond. So if I'm calm and peaceful, and there's somebody there that I don't particularly care for, and they are saying something, I am in that space of calm and peaceful, and that's how I will respond. I have already set up my intention. I've already set my energy up to be calm and peaceful. Okay? So that is my suggestion. If you want to be happy, then you set your energy in happy, and that's how you approach the situation. That's how you deal with the situation. So if I want to be peaceful and somebody's saying something to me, I'm going to wait before I respond. If I respond, right? Because I'm peaceful. I'm calm. I'm not reactive. I'm not explosive. My energy's not all over the place. My emotions are not all over the place. I am calm. I'm centered. Can you clear your chakras before? Yes, absolutely. You could do chakra work before if you wanted to. I've done a lot with HeartMath in the last few weeks. HeartMath has been coming up a lot. The heart chakra has been coming up a lot lately, but HeartMath has been coming up a lot. So the HeartMath was these group of meditators that I kind of get the image that, like, they were like kind of like these hippie love meditators, like when they first started. And it's just a group of friends, and they decided to do some meditations and some meditating experiments, and it ended up doing a scientific research on meditation. And they have a lot of data on meditation, the benefits of meditation. They have tons and tons. They have classes on it. And the HeartMath Institute is out of California, and they're just phenomenal. And so that's been coming up a lot of, one of their main techniques is pretending to breathe through your heart, not your lungs, pretending to breathe through your heart. You can cross your legs if you want, or your ankles. That links the energy fields together, the right and left hemispheres of the brain. That will center you. But breathing through the heart and not your lungs, you can imagine breathing a white light in through the heart, a golden white light, which is the Christ light, in through the heart. When you breathe in the white light, you kind of want to make it iridescent. So God's light is super, super bright. Can't look at it bright, but it's got kind of all the colors of the spectrum in it too. It's like that really blinding bright light. So you can breathe that in through the white, through the heart, the white gold light, the Christ light through the heart. And so what they have said is that doing that for 3 minutes gives you 6 hours of healing. So breathing in through your heart for 3 minutes gives you 6 hours of benefits. So before you go to the family gathering, if you want to pretend to breathe in through your heart, and that will help to center you as well. So yes, you can do all of those things before you go. But the main thing is choosing how you want to be, okay? Choosing how you're going to react. So I give that example of when me and my daughters went to the buffet with, it was me and my 2 older daughters, her husband, and a whole slew of kids. We go to this buffet, and we have more kids than adults, and they're all little. They're all like 7 and under, and they are just running around like crazy. And my oldest daughter is just fit to be tied. Like, she is just upset, right? But before we even went, I said to myself, okay, this is going to be great. I already knew before I went what was going to happen, and I already set myself up before we went to just enjoy, to just be happy. And as the kids were running around and getting covered in the chocolate fountain and eating everything, I was laughing. I was chuckling. It's not that I wanted kids to be crazy all over the place, but I mean, you take 6 little kids to a place with ice cream sprinkles and a chocolate fountain, what do you expect, right? I removed those expectations. I removed that perfectness. I took that out of the equation. I knew that wasn't going to happen. That wasn't going to be there. And when I did that, I set myself free, and I allowed myself to have fun. So again, I'm saying, set yourself up before you go that you are going to have fun regardless. You are going to be in that space. And I had a great time. The kids were crazy. I had a great time. It was fun. I still remember that. I still love that memory. Now my other daughter, she was upset because the kids were crazy. But when you have that expectation and you're attached to that outcome and you want everything to go perfectly and it doesn't, you're going to be upset because things don't go perfectly, right? So that would be my suggestion, not just for these holiday Thanksgivings, but for everything. Choose how you want to be, because things usually don't go as planned. Life doesn't go ABC. It goes AZTB. It jumps all over. So you have to be open to be peaceful, to be happy. and to remove those expectations, remove that need for things to be perfect and go perfectly. So before I close tonight, let me know if you guys have any other questions. I will be back next week. It looks like I'm going to be doing the Mondays for now on. Holidays are coming. Between the 7 and 8 p.m. is the time that I am able to kind of squeeze this in. So that will be my intention for next week, is that we will do it around this time. So make sure to let me know if you guys have any questions about anything that I talked about tonight. If you need me to clarify any of it, did it help you? Do you understand it? So Candace, the thoughts that come to you all the time, the idea out there is that we humans have 70 to 80,000 thoughts a day. So again, when I started piecing this together, like, what do you mean thoughts just happen to us? Yeah, well, thoughts just happen to us, like the heart just pumps blood. 70 to 80,000, I guess thoughts do just happen to us. That's a lot of thoughts a day. But the statistics show that 80 to 90% of those thoughts are negative until you train the brain to stop being that way. So thoughts will just happen to you, because you're taking in all that information, right? You're driving down the road. You're taking in the information of the sidewalks, the stores, the weather, the lights, the cars. All that's information. All of that is like triggers. It triggers memories. It triggers thoughts. So you have to train the brain to not just have to pay attention to every thought that comes through the mind. But it will do that. Now, my thoughts have kind of, you know, my mind still thinks a lot, but I'm not consumed by negative thoughts. And I don't think that I have to pay attention to every thought that comes through my mind now. I don't do that anymore. Right? So it gives you that freedom to choose which thoughts you want to pay attention to. So what else, guys? What else do you guys want to know? What else are you guys thinking? I hope that everybody has a great Thanksgiving and that they do choose how they want to be when they go. They set their energy up before you go. Use the heart math. You guys can all look up the Heart Math Institute. It's a fabulous place. They do sometimes give out like free videos. Sometimes they even give away free courses if you wanted to do that. They teach you to breathe in through the heart, and then they also have some where they teach you to, you breathe in that energy through the heart and then you expand that energy out. And they, because what they want to do is they're after healing the world, so they'll send that healing energy out throughout the world. So look that up, use that. All right, no other questions? Or is Facebook lagging? I'll wait a second to make sure that you guys don't have anything. So, all right. So thank you guys for coming on tonight. If you have any questions on the side, you can let me know. Remember that we are not going to be perfect. We're not meant to be perfect. We didn't come down here to be perfect, because if you are perfect, then there's nothing to learn. There's nothing to experience. You're here to be good enough. You're here to experience and to learn. We're not looking for perfection. Your opinion is the only opinion that matters, truly, at the end of the day. If you like you, it doesn't matter if nobody else likes you, as long as you like you. Okay? And as long as you're trying and you're working on it, that's good enough. You don't have to live up to anybody else's standards but yours. Right? So remember that. All right. You guys are welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for watching. Love you, too, can. Yep. And I will repost this on the group so you guys can watch it and other people can watch it later. So I hope everybody has a great night. And I will see you next.